Blog Talk Radio.
You see, some of you may not be used to having church like this, but you've got to learn how to celebrate the sacrifice of the cross. Because if it wasn't for the cross, every man, woman, boy, and girl would be in a devil's hell. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with every one of his stripes, I gotta go, because we're getting ready for the second half. But I want you to know that if you don't remember anything else that's said in here tonight, it is the cross of Calvary that gives us access to eternal life. It was a bloody cross. It was a wooden cross. It was a cross of suffering. It was a gory cross. You don't understand what happened. They beat him all night long. Yes, they did. And they ripped his body to shreds. And he didn't say a word. But he purchased our salvation. I want you to understand that it is by his sacrifice that salvation has been extended unto man. Don't you take it lightly. This isn't just a bunch of fanatical people jumping around and mumbling in another unknown tongue. But these are some blood-washed, Holy Ghost-filled, fire-baptized saints of the Most High God.
Name of this song is just simply...
It's a blessing for you guys to join us here at Harvest New Life Church and Harvest New Life Studios here in the city of Dallas. We're going to get our music kind of out of the way here. And we're going to get started as we go forth in the word on this afternoon. We thank God for all those who are showing up on the line. We also, at the same time, got the powerful man of God, Apostle Oscar Walker, out of the city of Houston, Texas, with us once again on tonight as we prepare ourselves to get moving in the word that's going to be actually issued from the kingdom tonight. We want to discipline ourselves to the point of being accordingly on the line, as we did before. I think if we pushed a lot of information out on time in terms of testimonies and some of the things we were speaking about, well, that's kind of limited ourselves. As I said, we want to keep things in decent in order. You know, there is a prophet in the house, and the Bible does declare you're going to be, you know, the prophet. You want to honor the prophet's house. In other words, when you come into the house, let's pull ourselves out of line and let's hear what the word of God has to say. That's coming from the kingdom. It's going to teach us and help us to move forward in the word that's coming into this actually radio station on this afternoon. For those who have been calling into the studio, I want to let you know that the word come forth. The number to call in on tonight, zero code 516-387-1220. Now, that'll get you into the studio. Now, that's a process, and when the man of God begins to bring forth the word of God, there's a number one button that actually sets on your phone. If you push that, it'll bring you in. And any time it comes in before the time that we speak, you know, it won't get answered. Let's just make sure we understand the process and procedures when we're coming on the line tonight. I'm going to welcome the man of God into the house tonight, Apostle Oscar Walker. And I want to make sure I let him open up tonight, and I'm going to let him just have the helm and let him kind of just direct it. He's been a senior in the ministry, been powerful in the ministry, been doing this thing over some years. I'm telling you, I mean some years. And he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's speaking about. He knows what he's talking about. So we want to let him have the floor on tonight, and we want to let him speak. That's what the Lord has given him to bring to our ears, that we may hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. And after the questions, after that, he's actually bringing forth the word, we'll begin to open up the lines for those who have some answers and questions about prayer, whatever it may be that you may have in your life that's going to help you move forward in your walk of Christ. Apostle Oscar Walker is now in your hands.
Hey, man, thank you, Pastor Ellis. I appreciate it. It's an honor to be on your program on tonight, as well as it was a few weeks back when I had an opportunity to bring a word. And I also want to acknowledge Pastor Ellis and his ministry, as well as his wife, First Lady Patty, and my wife, Pastor Joyce is with me on tonight, and she'll be listening in. And I just want to, you know, just express my appreciation to bring this word. Let it open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for the blessed opportunity to be able to share a word with your people. I believe it could be a rhema word, a word of encouragement to someone who's on the line tonight. I thank you for this blessed privilege. I want to pray a special prayer for Pastor Ellis and Harvest New Life Church and the work that they're doing for his great work. So, Father, we thank you. We pray for your presence in this short lesson that I'll bring. And, God, that you would just have your way. We thank you for it. We ask it in the mighty and matchless name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, amen, everybody. I just want to, again, to thank everyone. And also, again, to thank Pastor Charles Ellis for his generosity. And it's a pleasure to be able to partner with him from time to time to bring a word. He had spoken to me about a word from the book of Luke in the 12th chapter. And so I'm going to share a few thoughts. It won't be a lot of verses. That's a fairly long book. Or rather chapter. And I just wanted to just take a few minutes to look at a few verses. And for those of you who have your Bibles handy, we'll be looking at Luke 12, and I'm going to read down to maybe about the fifth verse, but I want to talk for a few minutes from Luke 12 and 1. And the Word of God says that in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch as they trod upon one another, Jesus began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in the darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. So today I just want to share a few thoughts with you. First of all, I want to The thought that I got when I began to meditate on this scripture is one that I've spent some time meditating and in prayer about. I call it the spirit of the Pharisee, which is alive and well, whether, you know, most of us realize it or not, that the spirit of the Pharisee is alive and well today and operating, unfortunately, in a lot of churches. And with it comes a number of things that I think we need to be aware of as a body of Christ. And I just want to share a few thoughts with you. First of all, let's look at that first verse. That's basically where I want to come from, where it says, where Jesus is saying that we need to beware of the leaven. Now, you know, those of us who know what leaven is, maybe some of you all might have come up when I did, but they used to bake bread. And my mom still makes homemade rolls, and she puts yeast or leaven, if you will, in it to cause it to rise. Whenever leaven is present, leaven here is likened as unto sin or evil. And this is what Jesus is speaking of. He said, beware, don't even get involved in any of their or call yourself get involved in any of their false doctrine or teaching. False doctrine is definitely present out here today. And again, I'm just kind of speaking some thoughts that came to me, and I believe that most important things that Jesus is speaking of here is being genuine men and women of God. For example, in the Old Testament, we see that the Lord spoke unto Samuel over in 1 Samuel 16:7, where he said, speaking about all of the sons of Jesse, when he went up there to choose a king over Israel, and where he said that, don't look on his countenance, or, you know, how handsome he is, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And then we see also in the New Testament, Jesus said over in Matthew 15:8, and Jesus, again, he called them hypocrites. He said, you did well with Isaiah's prophecy of you saying, thus, he said, Jesus called them hypocrites. He said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And I think as men and women of God, we need to be careful how we guard our heart. We ought to be genuine. We ought to have good character. I think character is something that's sorely missed today in the kingdom, because people tend to look at anointing. They tend to not look to see whether or not the person's heart is right. I was speaking with Pastor Ellis the other day. We were talking about the heart, how God first makes the man. We were speaking about a vision, the vision which God gives a person. And Oswald Chambers, who writes that devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, talks about our vision. I believe that visions get accomplished, that God works first in the man, and then he works through the man or the woman of God. So we want to spend a few minutes looking at something that is not pleasing to God. One of them, and we'll take a look at what the definition of a Pharisee is. Pharisees were kind of like somewhat we're dealing with today, political parties. They were very popular back in Jesus' day. That was another group of them known as the Sadducees. Some of you all may remember the Sadducees. They were people who did not believe in the resurrection. And the Pharisees were a group of people who put down a lot of laws and commandments that the people were supposed to follow, but yet they themselves did not follow them. So I want to share a few thoughts with you all tonight. First thing I want to talk about tonight is how Christ warns against the doctrine of the Pharisees or the teaching. And that's where we need to be careful as men and women of God. If we're not careful, we'll fall under the influence of someone who sounds good, maybe looks good, but really does not have God living in them. Even back Jeremiah, some of you all might recall how God came and he spoke to Jeremiah, and he told Jeremiah, said, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, said the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies. And so that's even true of us. I know when I speak with Pastor Ellis, and we talk about how from time to time he'll get someone who will come through and tell him something about his ministry to try and influence him to head down a path that God hadn't called him to travel. But we need to be careful about false doctrine. And you notice in that verse it says how Jesus is talking about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. How a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It don't take much. Just somebody makes their way into your membership of your church and you're not paying much attention. They come in, they kind of sneak in, or they come in, or maybe you open them up with open arms, and next thing you know, they've come in with some things that you're not really pleased with that's going on in your church. So you need to be very careful about who you let come in to your membership. We see here where Jesus is giving them a warning, where he says, what? Beware. Y'all remember Paul spoke. He said, Paul used the term, Paul said, take heed to the church of God whereby he had made you overseers. So taking heed means what? He said, means that I need to be watching. I need to be prayerful. Christ said, beware. He also said, watch and pray. That means I need to keep my eyes open. I don't need to be so impressed with somebody who appears to be anointed. We know that today a lot of emphasis is placed on whether or not a person is able to preach and teach and sing. And so, you know, if we're not careful, we'll permit somebody who may be anointed come into our body, but really does not have a personal relationship with the Lord. So, you know, y'all beware. Let's look at a few things here. Let's look at this term, beware. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the 6th chapter, we find Moses speaking to the children of Israel. He said, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. I need to beware. I need to be careful. And then Paul wrote, beware of dogs. Beware of evildoers. So the first thing is, from time to time, I have people come through our church, new ministers occasionally, somebody who calls himself a prophet or an apostle. But I always test them. We don't just let somebody, because they say they're an apostle or a prophet, you know, give them the microphone. Don't be too quick to give the microphone away. God has placed you in charge of that membership. You be careful and beware of these people who come through your church. I want to take a minute to take a look at what the term Pharisees means. Now, I believe, and it's been my experience, that while we may not have people today calling themselves Pharisees, I believe that the spirit of the Pharisee is alive and well. And one thing that in my studies, I found a couple of things. One is that the Pharisees, as I said, rolled with the Sadducees. And Pharisees, the term Pharisee means to separate, or they're separate. They kind of held themselves up. They were held in high esteem by some people during their day. They were a religious group of people. And that's what we have to be mindful of. You know, people can practice prayer. People can practice sermons, all good oratory skills. They can practice all that. But they may not have the love of Christ in them. That's why it's important to teach people about how they can have their own personal relationship with the Lord. In fact, there's one series that I teach. It's called Relationship or Religion, which is best, or Losing Your Religion and Gaining Christ. And that was one thing these Pharisees did not have. They had a complete hatred and disdain for Jesus and all that he stood for and all that he taught. And Jesus called them over in Matthew 3 and 7, he called them, they were ranked with the Sadducees, they were called a generation of vipers. And some of y'all probably have had experience in this area dealing with people in your church who have religious spirits on them, and their religious spirit tends to operate out of tradition and talent. And we see that here Christ was teaching, and he was thronged by the multitudes because people flocked to Jesus because, you know, he taught in a way that was completely opposite of the way that the Pharisees and the Sadducees taught. I'm going to take a minute, and I'm going to share with y'all a few thoughts about what the meaning and the definition of hypocrisy is. To make it, to simplify it, hypocrisy is simply defined as one who wears a mask and feigns himself or fakes to be what he is not. Or this definition says he's a dissembler of religion. He's a hypocrite. And in the Old Testament, hypocrites were described as people who were godless or they were profane. And one lesson I teach, I usually try to come out of, I like this scripture over in the book of Psalms, which is called, it's in, and some of y'all might want to mark your text, it's in Psalms 51, 55 and 21. There it says, talks about people who are hypocrites. It says that the words of his mouth, and I think Pastor Ellis used this the other day, were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. He says that his words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. I just think that it's time for us in the body of Christ to be careful about who we permit to come in and influence or to speak. We ought to know something about the character of the people who are speaking things in us and over us. I'm always watchful. I certainly receive prophecy, but the Bible does say that prophecy is supposed to be judged. You don't just have to believe every person that comes through that says something. Certainly an honor, but I think we need to test the spirits, I think, which is what the scripture says. So here's a couple of thoughts about hypocrisy. One of them is, first, what is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is knowing the truth but not obeying it. That's what Christ said. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And I just believe that, especially for us who are men and women of God, who he has trusted with his people, that we ought to be kind of like what I've heard someone say, what you see is what you get. I'm the same today. Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, You know, people can say they follow Jesus, but not obey his word. I remember years ago there used to be a saying that was, the old preachers used to say, do as I say do and not as I do. But that doesn't fly today. I think that's one reason why we're losing a generation, the millennials. They're watching us. They're watching. That's why religion, that's why churches are dying. That's why, you know, people are trying to preach this stuff and not living it. I always say, you know, people would much rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. They want to know whether or not that stuff that you preach, are you really living it? That's where character comes in. People with good character. Character comes over time. It doesn't happen overnight. You check out a person's life. And, you know, I don't want to get off in any political conversations, but you look at a person's life, and one way you can tell is first by the habits they have. You sow a habit, and you'll reap a character. The habits that we have developed over our lifetimes ultimately lead to our character. And one thing about people's character, and that's that, for example, when people, how people react when they are under stress, or whenever their troubles or trials come into their lives, we find, you know, people behave in certain ways. Some people are peaceful. They have a peaceful spirit about them. They trust in God. They're not nervous about what they're going through. Other people fly off the handle. You know, some of them have cussing fits. So I always say trials, I know some people like to say trials create character, but I say trials reveal character. They reveal what's in you. So when you go through something, or somebody you know goes through something, and how they respond will reveal their character. Second thing we see is that hypocrisy is living a self-serving life. I live a life that's for me. It's all about me, everything. You check their lives, and what have they done? Who have they given to? Where have they contributed? What have they given up? What have they sacrificed? And a lot of people desire leadership because they love position. I used to say there were three P's, and a lot of people in ministry and in religion get into religion because of three P's: power, position, and prestige. They're not in it to serve. They're there because of position. They love titles. And, you know, they called me an apostle, but as I was telling Pastor Ellis today, you know, apostle is not who I am, it's what I do. It's the gifts that God had given me, imputed in me. I was very reluctant to wear the title because it's got such a bad name out here amongst people, trying to run and control people in churches. But that's not why God called apostles. They're called to go on mission for God, to fulfill an assignment God has given. That's why I'm here. I do what I do. And even on the line tonight, I'm simply sharing some things that God had placed on my heart. The next thing is that hypocrisy, one of the things that the Pharisees were well known for, is that they had a lot of rules. You know, they had I think at one point they had over 600 and some rules that they imposed on the people. Follow this rule, follow that rule. That was their, but then when you looked at them, they themselves weren't following the rules. So if we're not careful, even the people who we serve or we're leading, if we're not careful, we put a yoke on them and have them following and keeping up a bunch of rules and regulations. And I believe in the body of Christ that there's a lot of rules out here, a lot of tradition. you know, and I, you know, my own personal opinion, one of the big ones out here today, and a lot of denominations is trying to keep the women from preaching and teaching and being in position. Or I had one lady who's a minister at a church. I never forget. I was preaching. I sat in the pulpit and with all, you know, a bunch of men, and I spoke. I spoke from the pulpit. But when she spoke, she had to speak from a little speaker over there on the other side. She got as many amens as I did, or more. But yet, you know, sometimes I think we miss a blessing if we're not careful about these rules that we've imposed. And then, also, and then lastly, about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is outward conformity without inner reality. That means, in fact, the sermon that I preached when I worked in corporate America, and I'm a quit in just a moment, Pastor Ellis. One of the things that I observed when I worked in corporate America, I worked for Eastern Airlines, I worked for Continental Airlines for many years, and I was in corporate America, downtown with the vice presidents and the managing directors and all those people. And we used to call them empty suits because there was nothing inside. I mean, they you know, they kissed up to the bosses. They, you know, said whatever needed to be said to make them look good. They wore nice suits, nice shoes. But basically, there was no character. And this is what troubled Jesus about these people, about how they weren't real. And I think that for us, who God have placed in the earth in this time and in this season, I think we ought not worry so much about whether how good we can preach or who we know or what title that we're wearing, and spend more time trying to be somebody who is someone who pleases God. I think I was talking with Pastor Ellis as well about, you know, sometimes we have to be careful about the garb and the traditions and the customs and whatnot, you know, today, you know, not criticizing, you know, wear what you want to wear, whatever makes you comfortable, but sometimes we get too caught up in what we look like on the outside. And that's, I think, is the essence of this one verse right here, is don't get too caught up on what's on the outside and pay attention to what's on the inside. So there's, of course, much more I could say on this, and I want to go too far. I just want to stick with the subject. I pray that somebody got a blessing. I think that we need to beware of the spirit of the Pharisee, which is still influencing men and women of God in the body of Christ today. We need to pay attention to people who come into our churches and sound religious, or they sound like they're more spiritual than you are. Don't be intimidated by them. You know, the Lord told Jeremiah, he said, don't be afraid of their faces. So don't be nervous when they come in and sound like they're this and all that. No, don't be intimidated. Watch them. So I pray tonight, thank you, Pastor Ellis, for the opportunity that something was shared that might be helpful to somebody out there in your listening audience, that they can go back and maybe take a look, you know, first at themselves and then look at the people who are following them. So thank you so much. I hope y'all were blessed. And I'm going to turn it back over into the hands of Pastor Ellis.
Amen, Apostle. It was a very strict teaching, as you always, you know. It was a very good word, and I want to let guys know who called in on the line tonight. There's a number you can dial in. Most of you are all on the line. Probably got in just, I'm just coming by internet. And what just coming in by internet, that'll get you into the process, the part of the show. But if you're coming into the studio, if you're coming to the number 5120, that'll get you actually off into the actual studio itself. I'm going to pull Apostle out for a minute, place there, and I'm going to kind of silence him until we get back with him. But we pray and we hope during the course of this study tonight that it was something that touched somebody's heart and something they've been actually longing for and wanting to find information about. I really believe that when we come to really hear, when we really can open our ears and really hear what the Word of God said, let me hear what the Spirit has to say. That'd be a lot less controversy in terms of how the Holy Spirit is moving. I think the Word declares about the process of how we all roll with one Spirit. I think he says in 1 Corinthians 12, it's by the manifestation. Everything we do is all by one Spirit. I think the Word comes in Psalms 133 talking about the unified body, how we all come to be one. It's power and unity. When men and women, God, start coming together, learn how to be as one, I think the church in the fivefold will really, it'll run a lot smoother than what's running right now. But I think that most of you who heard this word tonight, it was a word, it was really a rhema word. It really was. Because some of the things we're struggling, and we get to the point and we say, my ministry, or my church, or my anointing, or my spirit. And it clearly is a controversy word to the point of what it says over in the book of Corinthians. Gelling together and to come together, be as one, and really dealing with the process of saying one thing with your mouth in the front of a man's face, and then something else different behind a person's back. He wants you to be genuine, as the man of God say, have honor, have integrity. He say everything that's in the dark is going to become to light. Everything that's whispered in the ear of an individual has to come to light. And that's when we come in with honor and integrity and knowing that, hey, I'm a man of God. These things that I've heard about particular individual, particular person, I'm not to say anything about that other than it's something that's defiling the word of the kingdom of God. We got to really be able to hear. I'm learning more and more now how to hear more than opening my mouth about scriptures I know and things I may have to say and things I think is right for my own doctrine and understanding. I'm learning more by listening to genuine men in the body of Christ who really have a heart to teach us in a season in which we're in. I'm going to open up the line for those who have any questions, any answers for the man of God. I see that we got 989, I think it's Elder Carey. His hand has been up for a minute in the studio. I think he probably hit the button by mistake. But I want to bring him in, and I really want to emphasize there's quite a few people on the line, both foreign and domestic states. I mean, we're both here in the United States and foreign. That's be obedient. All those who have opportunity want to come and have a question, you got the same opportunity to push that number one button and raise your hand. But let's be discreet. Let's not try to eat all the pie. Let's understand that a lot of people want to get the cut of this thing, okay? And let's hear what the Word of God has. I'm going to bring in Elder Carey Williams out of Saginaw, Michigan, great man of God, and we're going to hear what the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him about during the course of this study. This great man of God, Apostle Walker, has spoken on this afternoon. Elder Carey.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor Ellis. And God bless the Apostle Walker. I just like to say really quickly that I appreciate and I agree and I appreciate 100% what the man of God was saying tonight, because he seems to be a man after my own heart. I've always had an issue with people flocking to and catering to men of God, quote, that like to perform. And I tell people all the time, you know, today in the body of Christ, too many of us folks still want to be entertained instead of being fed. Yeah. You know, Paul said something very, very important when he said that the gift and the calling of God are without repentance.
Right.
He was constantly reminding the folk that even he knew who he was. He knew what God had called him to do. He knew God had called him, and God had himself ordained him to be an apostle. But he was also mindful that he was housed in flesh. And so this is why he was always telling everybody, look, you know, I'm an apostle. I know I'm called to do this. But even myself, he said, I wore it in my members. You know, old wretched man in my arm. He said that what I would do that I do not. That I would not do that I do. He said that that's why I have to die daily, because I can get up and I can preach 5,000 people happy and then leave and fall by the wayside myself because my soul's not right. And we've got to understand that our integrity is everything.
Right.
You know, because see, first of all, God can never be God of the masses if he's not God of the individual first. And this is all about self-accountability, what's really in your heart and your spirit. Jesus said, if you love me, then you'll obey my commands.
That's right.
And so I appreciate that, because too many people still want to be entertained, or so many more want to ride the coattails of the preachers and men and women of God and think they're actually going to get into heaven by allowing everybody else to do the heavy lifting. And it just simply does not work that way.
That's
you
right.
Know, it does not work that way. We have to, first of all, we've all got to stand before God for ourselves. And I know, and I'm like Apostle Walker, you know, you just can't allow anybody to come in and say anything to you or your people, because at the end of the day, as the overseer over that house, you're responsible for the spiritual development of those people that God has entrusted to your care.
Too many
of these preachers and pastors and teachers today want to turn the gospel and the gospel ministry into some type of competition. It amazes me how you can go somewhere and the pastor can get up and tell people things like, you say what I say, close your Bible. And I've experienced it before. Or, I experienced the man of God one time, a pastor, got up on Sunday morning, and he got up to preach, and he began by scolding his people. And he literally told the people that they don't need to fellowship with one another unless they're there in the house. He told them they don't need to borrow money from each other or anything like that. That's what him and the church is for. And I'm thinking to myself, that's spiritual witchcraft.
Yes, it is.
You can't get so high-minded that you're so heavenly bound that you're no earthly good, and you hold people hostage spiritually. No, give people the word of God and pray with them that they develop their own relationship, because God doesn't want your performance. He wants you.
Exactly.
And we need to get there. He wants all of you. He wants you. He don't need your performance. But we get so carried away in this thing that we develop the Pharisees had their own God complex. The Pharisees and Sadducees actually thought that they were representing God by imposing all of this written law.
Yeah.
Jesus was the answer to the law.
That's right.
The letter of the law was flawed.
That's right.
Spiritual law was not. Spiritual law is perfect. But if we don't get it for ourselves, not only can we never help anybody else, but we continue to doom ourselves. And again, do you not know, being the man of God, you can close another spirit's person's spirit to you? You can either hold it hostage to yourself, or you can close it so that he doesn't receive whatever you have to say. We have to be careful, like the man of God said, especially this day and age. This last point I'm going to make, Jesus was always, he was constantly warning not only of hypocrisy, but he was warning of the wolves in sheep clothes and the false prophets, just like the prophets before him had come along. Jeremiah literally wept because of those false prophets. And in the 12th chapter of Luke, the disciples come to him and asked him what was the sign of his coming.
That's right.
And one of the first things Jesus told him was to beware of the false prophets.
Many are going to come.
As a matter of fact, it's right. You know, all this charisma that's going on today that's drawing people, listen to me. Just like the spirit of the Pharisee is alive and well in the body of Christ, so is the spirit of divinity.
Oh, yeah.
We have to know and understand the difference. So
that's
I appreciate that word. I appreciate that powerful word and teaching from the apostle tonight. That is exactly on point, and it's a fresh rhema word, and it's what we need today. God bless you, Pastor. God bless you. Apostle Walker.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much for that insight. That's awesome.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's when I think about, just this is all the increments and things I hear. And it's just, I want to really make sure that, the Word of God says, the way we'll see these things, the way we'll hear these things, the way we understand these things, the way he spoke in Jeremiah 3, I think it's around that 31 and 3, he talked about the loving kindness.
Right.
Taught you. It's a way that even when we see things that's going on with hypocrisy, we got to call it out. We got to call a spade.
We do. We like have to.
But the love, one thing I learned
right.
from Apostle Walker, and one thing I learned for all mentors that ever mentored me in anything that I do, as I learned how to hear, learning to listen, and learning how to interpret a situation really determines where you're going. It really makes a way where you're going to elevate or going to launch to in the season which you're in.
Amen. We had to get into the there was much more I could have said, but one thing I will say that's crucial is humility.
Yes.
That's right.
And that's if there is a genuine, if there be a man of God, as he wants to call himself, in your midst, he would be a person who demonstrates great humility.
Amen.
And you know, even Christ said that. He said, I'm lowly and I'm meek. So when you find someone who tends to lift himself up and brag about his accomplishments and all that he's done, and we hear people and ministers and pastors say, my people, my sheep, be careful.
Amen.
God is clear. He says, don't lord it over whose heritage? My heritage.
That's right.
Whose people. And, you know, I'm always minded. I tell people, they say, y'all don't belong. I don't have no ministers. I don't have no deacons. I have a lot of them serving at the church, but they don't belong to me. And so just, you know, be mindful and watchful. But if humility is not present, I don't care how many signs, you know, Samson demonstrated the power of God. You know, he was a man who was greatly anointed, but his character wasn't that great.
Amen.
So, you know, anointing doesn't necessarily mean that a person has a relationship with or even has good character or integrity. And that's where I think we, you know, if we're not careful, where the ministry gets to be little more than show business.
That's right.
As I was saying, you know, wearing a mask. You know, I've heard ministers and pastors say before they get up to preach, it's showtime.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure y'all have as well. But it's not showtime for if anybody's on showing, it's us. It's, you know,
Amen.
Making sure that God is on program.
Amen.
You know, I was telling somebody the other day, and, you know, there's a way of saying out here today in the ministry where people say, well, you know what, you need name recognition. You got to get your name out there.
And money. Everything's about money.
I'm not trying to get my name out there. I'm trying to get his name out there.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, it's whose name are you trying to get out there? I want to get his name out there. And, you know, if I get his name out there, if God so chooses, he'll get my name. But that's not my goal.
Amen.
So I would just say again, you know, humility, just that's one of the first indicators of whether or not there's somebody who genuinely has God in them.
Wow. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's during the course of the time, Apostle, you were speaking, and just kind of just reffling through the scriptures and looking at some things. I happened to just stumble on the New International Children's Bible, the ICB. You know, I'm always reading something to get good revelation, understanding of something. And it says over there in that Matthew 23:28, it said, how terrible for you teachers of the law, you Pharisees. You're like tombs painted on white on the outside.
That's right.
And he said inside, he said the tombs are like fine. They look fine on the inside. You know, on the outside, those tombs look fine. But on the inside,
they look good.
He said they are not. He didn't say they look. He said they are full. This ICB children's Bible. This is from a kid's Bible. He said full of bones of dead people.
Full of dead man's bones.
All kinds of unclean things are there. He said in that 28th verse, he said, it is the same with you. He said, people look and you think that you are good. But he said, no, the inside of you are full of hypocrisy and evil.
That's right.
Your trilatropies, you know, the Pharisees, you know, they
right.
love to be a showman.
Yeah, the clothing.
Yeah, they looked
yeah.
good.
See, that's the same as an Armani suit today or some expensive alligator shoes. They say you look
yeah.
good. You got all this stuff on there that makes you look religious.
Yes.
Spiritual.
Yeah.
According to the way you dress.
Wow.
But, you know, in the Bible, I don't see Christ or any indication of him wearing designer suits
no.
or that same type of garb, you know, with the robes and all the phylacteries hanging off him. I don't see Christ wearing any of that. And I think that's where, I'm not trying to say don't wear nice clothes. I mean,
don't let the clothes wear you. You don't wear them, but don't let them wear
that's
you.
That's right.
You know,
my old principal used to say, you know, clothes don't make the man,
that's
but
right.
they do make the man look like it better.
Yeah.
And I always say when I talk to the ministers and how they dress, I say, you know, be careful how you dress. You don't need to be all that flashy. I said, because if people can't get past how you look, they haven't heard a word that you said. They're too busy watching what you're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we just, I know we do. It's good to wear nice stuff, but, and I do. I like nice clothes, but I just think that, you know, we need to pay more attention to what's inside the person.
Amen. Those who call in and line on tonight, got Apostle Oscar Walker out of Houston, Texas. The phone's available to you. You're lit up on the line. You got the opportunity to press that number one, and you ask this man of God whatever you need to ask. Now, time is moving. You know, time is moving. And those of you who got the opportunity, you know, dial in at 516-387-1220. But I want to take time while everybody's stalling. And I mean, that's not going to be in the kingdom. You're going to wait till it's too late and the door going to close in the name of Jesus. When the cry comes, you got to get in it. But I want to pull this young man of God in and before the times get too late. And those who are clicking in, you just got to hold your place because I gave you the opportunity early. But just hold on a minute. You got a man of God by the name of Anthony Stretic. He's been really, I've been really conversing with him. And I want to bring him on the line. And he's got to go back into this surgery again, Apostle. And that's been some discrepancy.
Okay.
Is dealing with the process of getting things confirmed. And I really want to loose the spirit as he get ready to go into that operating room on tomorrow and have that procedure done. I want you to pray for him. Anthony Stretic, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I want to pray for him.
I'm sorry, Pastor.
Go ahead, Anthony. You go ahead. Let him know.
Huh?
You can go ahead and let the apostle know he's talking to you, the process of the prayer you need in the area which you're having some of the conflicts that you said you kind of, you know, you're not worried, but you want God to make everything smooth. We want God to make a way for you because you got to be in there on tomorrow morning. You know, the word does say no weapon form. He said it'll form, but it won't prosper. And so we want to make the kingdom of God is going to pull through supernaturally. So I'm going to let you talk with the apostle here a second. A few more callers waiting on the line, and we'll make sure we get you prayed up and believe that God's going to do just what he said he's going to do.
Yeah. I'm not worried about nothing because I know God got me at the end of the day. You know, he done had me the first two times, and I'm going to trust him on this time too. But, you know, it's just how Satan do stuff, you know, the way he works. You know, like Pastor Ellis always told me, though, if he throws some punches, you got to throw some back.
That's
you know?
Right.
But he'll still get you, though. He'll still have your mind boggling, you know.
Right.
But they say fear is the it's what he do. You know, what they said is false evidence, or false evidence that appears to be real.
And that's that Hebrew. You got an appearance of being authentic. You know, it's like apostles said, these Pharisees, they're the same thing. They're the appearance. They look.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He dresses your mind demise up to look real. But it's nothing but a smoke screen. The apostle tells me it's a smoke screen.
That's just like I talked to the doctors from the – I was just minding my business today. And, you know, I got to go to the surgery 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay,
and I went to see my doctor Tuesday. And – They set the surgery up for Friday. So my doctor had been knowing that I had the surgery since Tuesday. They've been knowing I have to get the surgery since Tuesday. So the hospital called me today, and they told me that it's up to me if I come in the morning because my insurance is still pending on the surgery. So y'all know how that made me. Man, that made me – that really took my mind into, like, so you mean to tell me if I come up there at 6 o'clock in the morning, I probably won't be able to get the surgery because of my insurance is still pending?
In other words, you ain't going to fix in me what you started.
Right.
So it's like and right now I got my side is swollen, you know, and I'm in pain. And I'm ready to get it over with. I'm just ready to, I was worried at first and I was dismayed, you know what I'm saying? But just really ready to get it over with now, you know? So I'm ready to move on to the to the next chapter.
All right, Apostle.
why don't we just get before prayer and ask the Lord. I'll link my faith with your faith. Pastor Ellis and I will come together.
Amen.
And believe him that you're gonna get that surgery at all. It's gonna be well for you, okay?
Amen.
Okay. And so you can have this surgery done, and then you can get on about. Father, we thank you right now for your mercy. Last
Amen.
Week I was preaching about mercy. There are times when that's our only out. It's to ask you for mercy. I want to ask you for mercy for this young fellow. He's tried all he knows, and it looks like it. And this is when you show up. So we need mercy, Father God, to bless him, to help him, to get beyond his circumstance and his predicament that he's in, and then give him favor. That's grace, unmerited favor. Send your ministering angels down here. The Bible says there. They're to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. Send them forward, O God. Pave the way for him. Give him a breakthrough so that he'll be able to step forth in the body of Christ and to testify in the midst of the congregation and tell them about how good you are. And then give him favor and healing in his body, in his infirmities that he's dealing with, and let him come through this surgery with great success. We thank you for doing it for him right now, myself and Pastor Ellis, and we thank you, and we ask it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We got Alan Card on the line, Apostle. I know we're drawing near the time. We want to get many as we can, and we got Evangelist Alan Carter here. And he just came in here. I mean, he's been in for a while, but we're going to give him
tonight.
Evangelist?
Yes, sir. God bless you, everyone. Pastor Ellis, Pastor Walker, Elder Care, thank God for you all. You know, I was just listening at Pastor Walker when he was saying earlier about power.
Apostle.
You know, some people, I mean, your apostle, some people, their power, you know, I learned down the years and through the years, you know, where people got, you know, that power, they figure like they got you under their thumbnail.
Okay.
And they control you. You know, you do as
okay.
I say
Lord,
or not
Lord,
as I say. You know, uh-huh. And I seen that, you know, and I was like, wow, you know, and it makes you wonder, you know, at the time, if, you know, this is what holiness is all about, you know, you don't even want to be a part of it because people want to try to control you in their own way, you
oh,
know,
yeah.
and I learned that, you know, I said, wow, you know, my mother, she's a Church of God in Christ. She's been saved for the last 31 or 32 years.
Okay.
And she would tell me, you know, son, my baby, you know, this is what, you know, people, you know, and things like this, you know, they want to control you, you know, control your mind, you know,
okay.
They want you to, you know, do what they tell you to do. And they want you to, you know, to jump like, you know, they say in the secular world, when I ask you to jump, I don't say how high. You don't ask me why. You just do it. You know, and I was like, you know, well, I said, well, to God be the glory. I'm my own man. I'm going to be my own man to the day I leave this world, you know. So, and people, you know, they have a problem with that when they can't really, really control you, you know. And I was listening to what you were saying, you know, and I was like, yeah, that power trip, that's what they be on. And I just thank God for, you know, you you know, elaborating on that, you know, and,
well,
you know, and, sir?
Yeah, I was saying thank you. Yeah, yeah, be careful. Again, that's why I say you need to be watchful and careful about all the different spirits. The Bible said there are many spirits going out into the earth, and a lot of them are manipulating spirits. Spirits, okay?
Yes, sir.
And it's a demonic spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to control you. And, you know, you just be careful. You can tell. Just watch them.
Yes,
discern,
sir,
the spirit. Do the best you can.
Will tell.
You're not certain about the person you're dealing with. Ask somebody like Pastor Ellis, who's able to discern the spirits that's upon people.
Right.
Bible said many spirits have gone out into the earth today. And again, that's kind of what I was talking about. The spirit of the Pharisees, you know, they were manipulators. Or religious spirits. What they want to do is to try and not give you the liberty that Christ gave you, because, you know, we're free people.
Yes, sir.
You know, the Bible says that, you know, if the Lord sets you free, you are free indeed. Which means really free. So he didn't put you under bondage. He came to deliver you. He says, I came to deliver the captives. So if you're in a relationship with somebody who has manipulated you,
controlling you,
then it's not the spirit
not of God.
Of God. Anybody wants to try to manipulate you, I'm very careful. I've got, you know, I'm in position, but I don't manipulate anybody. They're free to make their own call and live their own. I don't really want to manipulate anybody. With me, even with my daughters, I don't manipulate them. I don't manipulate the ministers and the deacons at our church. And, Pastor Ellis will tell you, I've never tried to manipulate him.
You don't even manipulate
him. With him my thinking on different situations, but I've never tried to manipulate him. I shared with him. And most of what I shared with him are things he already knew.
Yeah.
You know, and so you be careful of that.
But I had to learn honor and integrity at the same time. Jesus talked about the servant and the leader and how you need to be obeyed to those who have authority over you. Now, he's not saying to a manipulating point. I don't manipulate my daughters, like Pastor Walker said. I don't manipulate my wife, nor do I manipulate my friend. I think that's like he said. Jesus says rebellion is like witchcraft. I think Samuel said that. So
that's right.
It's a hard thing to deal with, and we don't really want to get into this. And men of God, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a thing to be told. And you know, Pastor Ellis, we talk about a lot of things, but that's another lesson. There's a spirit out there called the Jezebel spirit. But it doesn't just affect women. I know there's a misconception out there about the Jezebel spirit. People think that they're just women. But there are men who have that same spirit upon them. They want to control you.
Yeah.
I mean, we see that right now, you know, manipulating, controlling spirits.
Right.
And you give them a wide berth. You know, sometimes don't spend a lot of time trying to reason with them.
They
have the spirits that they got upon them is one that's difficult to reason with. They don't want to hear reason. That's one thing that you know need to be aware of. But don't get yourself involved in where you're trying to reason with them. Don't lose no energy. If you have the opportunity to separate.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, I'm not trying to say, you know, if you have an opening to tell them about Jesus, certainly.
Right. Yeah.
But then on the other hand, don't get upset because they don't want to hear what you have to say. Most times they think they know more than you know anyway. So I mean, it's just a waste of your energy trying to
fight and argue, trying to prove you
got all the answers.
That's right.
And we don't have so much time on this earth.
That's right. It's a blur.
Learn to discern the difference between whether something the Bible says is or not. The Bible says a saying they call it a serenity prayer.
Amen.
And it says that, you know, Lord, help me to change
everything as I can, and help you accept the things that I can't change, and the wisdom to know the difference between the two. Okay, so that's what you have to be aware of. Use good wisdom in your decisions concerning, you know, people and how you deal with it. So I hope you help. I mean, no, don't worry about them. They're out here. They're not going anywhere. They're going to be here when Christ comes back.
Yes, amen. Yes.
Amen.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere. They'll be here when Jesus comes back.
Amen. Pastor Walker, you know, that's why the Lord told me, he said, be careful of wolves and sheep clothing, you know, because, you know, some people, like I say, you know, you live, you learn, you live, but, you know, to God be the glory, people try to run a game on you. If they feel like if you don't know, you know, they want to control you, you know, and I tell them like this, I'm not controllable, you know, I'm my own man, you know, because...
You ain't got to worry about controlling. I guarantee you that. If the process of God to have somebody with you, to be with you, and this is what I really want to emphasize, this in the process of what God said, how love and kindness have I drawn you. There are things, now I do say things, like you said over in the book of Matthew 24, there are things out there that will pull you away from what's right for you. This is why you got to be careful about your surroundings. You got to know who's and who's against you, what's right for you and what's not right for you. The manipulation, hypocrisy is very strong. There are people got what they call, they call them silver tongues. Things that are pulling you away from the very thing that God has in store for you. Only because they're not really feeding into you what you want to hear from them rather than somebody who's helping you. That's the difference. You'll see it all the time. That they'll pull you, they'll turk you, twist. That's why you keep your ears open and don't let too many flies fly around your head. Did I say that right? Because they buzz a lot, and you don't know. See, you get a lot of chatter in your life, and you start listening to things over here and things over there, and you begin to get confused. You be like you in a circus, and then before you know, you get messed up. And the one who God really sent to help you, you begin to throw him off the boat, and then the one you think is going to help you, then you begin to bought the devil in. If somebody's got a hand out and reaching out to pull you up out of that hole that you're in, and you see somewhere spiritually that you see it's humility in what they're doing, and they're not controlling you, you better be careful. It's a devil around the corner somewhere.
Right.
He don't know what's about to happen to you. His job is to keep you right there in that hole if he can. He don't want to see you rise. He don't ever want to see you rise. And so tongue, and he'll talk, and he'll twist the scripture, and he'll contort them, and he'll use them to his own demise to pull you out of the very thing God has in store for you. I believe I'm saying, but I want to get off of that thing tonight, because I've seen it too many times. That's why this has always genuinely showed me to my wife and to my family. Now, I'm telling you, I got sideways, because I was at a point I didn't believe nobody. But he began to show me things in love. He began to show me how to be genuine. He began to show me how to be respectful. He began to show me how to be honorable. He began to show me how to be loving. Things that never happen to you if you don't treat your wife right, he said. If you don't act right in front of the very ministry in front of your children. He began to show me. Then I began to use these things. And I found out as I went along, they was genuine. They was all the right thing. But those who throw those knives and those bullets from a father who shoot across your bowels, as the pastor tell me, you better watch it. Because they shoot long-range missiles. And their job is not to see you prosper, go forth in what God has in front of you. When God comes to life to help you, he's going to put a genuine person with you that's going to identify with your spirit. But long come that Ahab and that Jezebel, that wolf. You got to watch it. It's very cunning out here.
Yes, it is.
The apostle said they sound real good in their terpses of speech. But their job is to lead you into demise. They want to see you. After they walk you off the cliff, they're going to leave you hanging there. And the first thing you're going to think, maybe I should have stayed in the first place. Not that God won't bring you back, because the same thing happened with me in the park. I got to the point I was pulling one direction. Somebody was pulling me one way. And before you know it, I had to go all the way around the block. All the way around the block. I mean, around that block, it was a lot of turmoil, a lot of hurt, and a lot of pain. A lot of stuff. Because I looked at what was in front of me and didn't recognize it because of the humbleness and the humility he had for me. And I had to go all the way around the block hanging with these big shots. They kicked me. I'm telling you, Apostle Tay, they kicked me every way but right. Oh, they told me now. Wasn't no peace in the household. Mad up, upset at my wife about things that she didn't even do. Jaws all locked up. Don't understand nothing. Up, look down, and right, look wrong. They'll get you and they'll leave you out there. But when God is genuine in your life, they're there to help you, and you will recognize it through the Spirit. You be careful of these Pharisees, as he said, these Sadducees. Mm-hmm. One day they're out here, and they're ready to get you, and they'll take you out.
Right.
Yeah. That's the lesson. And Pastor Ellis, I'm going to have to leave in a little bit.
No, we got to go. Time is running on us in this
town. Yeah, but I'm available for somebody else out there. You know, just feels like there's something I can say that might, you know, help for a few more minutes.
Hey man, well, we got four people on the line. Only five people I've seen that came in and put their hands up. That lets me know that there's some good teaching going on. They need to learn something. Now, I don't know who needs a prayer, who doesn't have something to say, but I wouldn't take the opportunity to miss out when you got somebody that can genuinely help you move in the direction that you need help in. I would take advantage of that time if you're willing to come into the line and have something to say. Now, the number is 516. It's 387-1220. Just push that little number one on your phone, and it'll get you in. If you need prayer for your household, if you need prayer for yourself, you need a question to answer that you don't even understand, now is the time to be able to say something. Don't hold off and let the devil beat you side the head. This is why we have these services all the world. We got Elder Carey Williams on the phone from Michigan, got myself, we got Apostle Walker, you got Evangelist Alan Carter, you got any other men, we got mighty other mighty men on the line tonight. And I'm telling you, it's a lot of wisdom on the line tonight. And this is the opportunity, if you had anything you have to say about something that puzzled you in the Word of God and you don't understand what is going on, been a vision, a dream you're having, look, let's have at it, because it's only a few minutes and we got to get out of here. 516-387-1222 is yours. All right, Apostle, let's pray us off the line. Let's pray us off the line, because time is, we got about a few minutes, and we thank you guys for joining us here on tonight in the Word, along with me, myself, Apostle Walker, our guest speaker on tonight, Evangelist Alan Carter, Elder Carey Williams. Let me bring him back in for a minute before we get off.
Okay.
I have something to say before we get off, Elder Carey, because we got to get out of here. We're a few minutes up.
Yeah, that's
Amen.
Brother Carter.
Yeah,
Elder
Carey. Sir. Amen. I just want to say very quickly that, again, I appreciate the man of God tonight. I appreciate all of you.
Amen.
And we have to be mindful of the Word gives us truth, and it gives us life.
Yes,
but we have to be willing to walk in it. You know, in particular, God's pulpit ministry, God's gospel ministry in the pulpit is no place for high-mindedness and selfish ambition and arrogance, because mm-hmm. those are everything that the Pharisees and the Sadducees represented.
That's right.
The Bible warns us clearly that Satan himself is even able to transform himself into a spirit of light.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you
come into a God, you know, it was over in, I think it's over in the book of John, where he says that God will give you discernment and he will give you an unction from the Holy One. This is why you can't live without the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is there to teach us and lead us into what? To bring us into all remembrance and lead us and guide us in all truth. And there are so many spirits running rampant. We got to remember exactly who we are and whose we are. And what it is, you know, like the saying goes, it is what it is. And the truth of the matter is outwardly and physically, this is, the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. But that does not mean that we have to be bondage to Satan. We're in the world, but not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, God bless you all tonight, because this is the teaching that we need. We need pastors and preachers who walk and operate in truth and integrity. And not tell you what you're going to feel good. You know, I know too many of them that love to use people for their own advantage.
No.
You know, God has a special place for them. If they don't get that thing right, it's just we have to be careful that we don't fall into the traps and the snares. And like Paul said, we don't end up thrown by the wayside, because we are nothing but vessels and portals. And we have to see ourselves. We are vessels for God and portals. The Bible says that, you know, He has given us his gift, his ministry, and earthen vessels. First of all, we're never supposed to strive with any man.
All right, come on, come on, come on, Kerry.
Paul said it over in Ephesians. So I'm done, man. But, you know, I'm excited, and I'm grateful to you all. God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you.
Yeah.
Go ahead and take us out.
And I would like to say also, you know, again, just test, the Bible said, test the spirit.
Amen.
See if they are of God. And don't be so impressed because and find God. Don't do that.
Amen.
So anyway, Pastor Ellis, I know you're going to have to get out of there, so I'm a...
Yeah, we got to get on.
Amen. All right, it's been a blessing, Pastor Ellis.
Oh, let me have Evangelist Carter to close us out. Is that okay with you, Apostle?
Yeah, of course.
Let me have Evangelist Carter to close us out. Hold on a second.
Yeah, by all means.
Quick prayer, Evangelist.
Yes, sir. Huh?
Go ahead and close us out with a quick prayer.
Yes, thank you, Father God, right now for everything we have heard on tonight. The word was edified, glorified to everybody's soul. Lord, we thank you each and every last prayer word on this line. To God be the glory. Let every heart say amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen.
Blessings to each and every one of you. God bless you guys for joining us here at Harvest Light Church, and it was either place for you guys to be. So then, God bless you guys. You're with us on next Thursday. Well, yeah. We're
amen.
Next same time.
Amen.
All right. God bless you guys.
God bless. Thanks, Pastor.
God bless.
Good night.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now talk with you soon. Okay. Bye-bye.